Yes, people. How are we doing? Quinny, we are back once again for another episode of the End Product Podcast. Where are we at now? About 86, 87? I've lost track of a number.
88.
88. Cool. We're 2 minutes from full time, mate. We're almost in full time.
Getting on.
Absolutely flying. I can already see the chat is firing up as well. So thanks to anyone who's locked in live for this one. We are live via Quinny's YouTube channel right now. And Quinny, it's been a pretty successful week, to say the least. I've been kind of scouring your content over the last week. I noticed you've had a good few end product exercises on the channel, so to speak. So I guess we can kick the show off with a little update on the ins and outs in the gallery. What did you pick up in those boxes and rewards in the last week?
Well, I'm striking out on boxes again. So I can't remember when I picked up maybe like 7 or something. And sadly, it was just all power-ups and boosts and stuff like that, which I think I maybe used more wisely this time than the first little salvo of boxes I got. I don't think I used those power-ups too wisely. I just kind of just put one here and put one there and whatever. But also on the reward opening stream I had on Tuesday night, we had SR Dimebar on the stream because he won Premier League Division 1. And his words at the end of the stream still ring in my ears about how he, the week before, had applied 3 power-ups to all 5 of those cards. It's like a set stack almost. Wow. And had he not done that, he would have finished second. Like, yeah. You know. Gave him the buffer to make the difference. So, but I got my boost in this time. I was just like, right, Matt O'Reilly, level 20, boom. And then I think somebody else had done the same thing. Kuto, maybe with the super rare ones or something. Something like that. And I won a couple of cards. I won a Alexander Mendy from Cannes, who I think was a tier 2, who's a bit of a goal scorer, looks a bit of a player. And then I got a super rare that's a DNP merchant at USG and somebody else. But I put a little post out on Twitter. I don't know if you'd have seen this yourself, Stishy Boy, but I went and I turned my lemons into lemonade, as it were. I got some fresh ones and whatever as well, but putting that to one side, I just sold those cards and then with the proceeds, I was able to just go and get a Luis Palma. So it feels like in a wee roundabout way, I won a Palma this week. So
like that.
That's my double mid-threshold is super rare and rare, so I was feeling pretty good about myself. And
to win that, the two of those put together. I mean, one just winning the super rare one's great. If you can hit that middle, that's a fantastic week on its own, isn't it? So if you can hit that and the rare, I've been really unfortunate in my cap modes. I haven't been quite as much end product to report on in that department. Did manage to do okay in the rare, but I haven't had the super rare one through. I think I must have jinxed myself because I remember we were talking about it a few weeks back, weren't we? And I was like, I've hit that about 4 out of 5 weeks at that point, and I don't think I've hit it since. So I've shot myself in the foot there talking about it on the podcast, obviously. But I've managed. I saw your tweet about turning getting your lemonade sorted out, and it prompted me because I had similarly had a few kind of like wins that didn't really do a great deal for my gallery. Didn't seem like cards that necessarily would open up any options for me or be like wholly usable on like those midweeks and into the end of the season. So yeah, I listed a few of mine up, but I've got nothing but nonsense offers for them since I listed them. So I've had to then go back in, unlist them, change the minimum offer because I've listed them at floor price just to sell them. Do you know what I mean? I'm not selling cards for half what they last sold for. I'm not desperate for like £4. Do you know what I mean? If it's listed for 8, it's but it's a bit like doing the boot sale, isn't it? Like when I was young, we used to do boot sale with the family and that. And you always get those people, like you'll put like a label of something like 20p on something and you get someone coming up asking you if you take 16p for it. And it's like, hey, we're talking about rares for like £8, like starters. Like just take it for £8, mate.
Yes.
So yeah, I kind of delisted them, but in doing that, I also delisted a few that I thought, you know, like in fact, one of the cards I did win, which is still listed, granted, but I won Serge Ngoma forward card, Red Bull New York. He is a player who's been in my watch list because he was super young. I think his first mints on the platform, he was like 16 or something like that.
Quality rookie card, that is.
Yeah, so I'm like, I'm not mad at that, but I think I've listed it for like £55 because pretty much because of your tweet, to be honest, just like yeah, if I can take 55 quid in, I might be able to turn that into something a little bit more gallery of a gallery fit, you know. But I actually won four MLS cards this week.
Nice.
Lucas Bartlett defender card from DC United. He looks fairly useful. You know, DC United aren't an amazing outfit, but I got also Bryce Duke, who was a player who's been on my radar because a mate of mine was banging on about him a few seasons back. So I've unlisted him just to kind of see. I might wait out and see how he figures out in the next few weeks. But yeah, Serge Ngoma, who's more of a one for the future, I think. I know he doesn't seem to be getting the minutes at the moment. And likewise, Jeremy Raffanello at Philadelphia doesn't really look like he's getting the minutes. So, you know, they were all low tiers, so I had very low expectations of them. The other card I won was the OGC Nice backup keeper, Maxime Dupay. So, yeah, I've had a few of them sort of tier four, tier five wins. So I think now we've kind of bedded ourselves into this new divisions and stuff like that. I think maybe like this game week, I've experienced a little bit of that. Maybe I found myself in the division where I can compete. But, you know, if you finish not so high in those divisions, you are tier four, tier five. You can't have high expectations. But that would only be disappointing given, you know, I've got a huge gallery that should be creaming rewards, or you'd expect. But like the gallery is big. It's not all heavy hitters, though. So, you know, if you've got a small to medium-sized gallery and you're managing to pick up three or four rewards on a weekend, that's fantastic. So if you kind of zoom out a little bit and forget about your own personal situation, to win five rewards, pretty good for a game week. And I had a pretty average game week. If I look at the scores that picked up those cards, they're not massive. Do you know what I mean? Like, I picked up tier fours and fives with maybe scores of like 350 points in maybe like a Div 3, Div 4 team. So, yeah, I think that's quite positive, isn't it? I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, I definitely think so. I think like the thing this weekend as well was like, because we've had our hand on this stuff for a few weeks, maybe picking your battles is maybe a wee bit, you know, you got your hand on it a little bit more, you know. I know you were mentioning kind of the tip off, maybe not hitting freshies in a wee while, but picking up cards and getting that kind of winning streak, like, it's kind of like the little mode you go into. Like, I hear people saying that now, I think we even had this chat in the podcast not too long ago about, like, some people are saying, like, oh, just get rid of All-Star and Cap and let's just get right into the deep end of the new stuff, if you know what I mean. Yeah. And you see some people's vision is completely just moved into the new space, if you know what I mean, and it's as if all the other stuff isn't even happening. And vice versa, you get probably people that are just like living in the past, or some people in the middle somewhere. So I think for myself, like, I felt that a little bit coming to the weekend, a wee bit more, like I felt a wee bit more confident just even in that competition prioritization. Mickey Baston saying he's made his life easy by getting all his teams into D1. Yeah, so.
Oh, nice. So less worrying then, like less figuring out to do, like, do I put a strong lineup in D2? Like, I had that. That was my headache that week just gone, was I had a couple of teams where I thought, yeah, they're all right, but I was a bit worried about rotation on some of my better teams. Like, it going into the Champions League, you're looking at your PSG and your Bayern in my case. And I'm like, are they going to start? Are they not? I think Bayern was a little bit less rotation risk, but PSG was definitely one. So, yeah, I think I ended up putting strong teams into Div 2, but, like, yeah, it wasn't a banger of a week for me. Where I did end up winning those cards was, you know, at the tail end of the cap modes and stuff like that. So, yeah, I didn't hit high into the rewards, but I'm definitely still having that issue of, like, where do I put my teams? And I think with the good card, the top end of my gallery is still kind of in the Champions League. So it's going to be tough coming, you know, like, especially with the Bundesliga pretty much dead now. Bayern are probably going to be quite rotation heavy now because they're going to have their eyes on Champions League and obviously qualification for next season. So they'll still want to finish second, no doubt. But there will be bits, I think, in the midfield, particularly cards in my case, like Musiala, you'd expect he's going to be rested certain games. Maybe not so much with Kane, because I don't think he's got anyone else who's like him in the squad there. Like, he's probably going to still start most games, if not all of them. So, yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting run into the kind of like the final stages of the league tables, and especially those teams who have still got European or cup competitions that they're aiming for. The rotation is going to be hard to navigate, but yeah, I think I've probably suffered a few more relegations this week. So I'm not even sure where I stand in terms of divisions going into the weekend. I need to kind of have a little look at it properly. But yeah, I think the onus now is definitely on trying to finish high in those D1s, isn't it? I think the only tactical anecdote I can give for the weekend just gone was one success I did have was, we spoke about it last week about the difficulty of finishing in the cash in the in season in D1 when you need to finish in that top sort of 40, yeah. and you're competing with players who've got three very strong teams out, or have the flexibility, which, you know, not all of us have the flexibility with it when it comes to in season. So this week I put my in season champ into the D2 because the money trickles down to 90th in that one. It might not hit the heights of the D1, but, you know, there's 90 places paid out. And again, you know, like trying to avoid those whales, like we've mentioned before, I thought, you know, by now a lot of those whale accounts will have three D1 entries, maybe won't be in D2. And yeah, lo and behold, I did manage to finish in the cash on the in-season champ. I can't remember exactly where I finished, but it was a cash finish, no less. So that worked out quite nicely for me, but it does mean that I'm probably going to be pushed up into a D1 again. I might have two D1 entries now, and don't fancy, I've only got one champ in season entry, so to having two D1s is probably not where I want to be, not with my gallery anyway.
Stylish with a zinger here saying cash must be a tier 5. Way. Not Matty Cash, actual cash. Of that, but good banter as always. Sorry, I was just kind of keeping up with the chat there, Stish, sorry, but I think like that's the D1, the D2, the D3, the D4, like that angle, like you can only play that card so many times because it is like, well, it's multi-entry, so you get three teams, but you know, like kind of like after three shots of it, if you get it working, you're going to be out unless you've got teams kind of falling down. And that was something that people were definitely in this chat for the podcast and whatever we're kind of speculating about. Before we got their kind of hands on it, it's like, are you going to force relegation? Are you going to want to put a training lineup into D1 just to sink it, you know, and bring it back down? And, you know, when you look at the way some of the tables have shaken out, it's hard to kind of argue against that at this point, isn't it? You know, yeah. So like the divisions, like Division 1 isn't clearly the most advantageous to be in, which, yeah, like if you're like Mike and you've played your card three times and now they're all in D1, then you've maybe just got to except your guys are in good form and maybe play all three of them and go for it. I want all my teams to be in D1 personally, like, you know, ride or die kind of vibes, you know, where it's like, if you're going to be competing, let's go for the biggest pot we can. But that's still something that's tripping a lot of people up, I think. And I say Charlie was buzzing, you know, he put his team into D1 and he could have put it into D2 and some other places and all the rest of it. But I think, yeah, especially your number one team, like, it's kind of hard to look behind. It's a wee bit counterintuitive for me, although I've had some teams I've tried to put out as like the sly ones and like, oh, just try and, you know, go in here and try and sneak a wee cheeky one. I think time and time again it's not a wee we can keep spinning.
I reckon it's more of an application in the cash mode than it is in the classic, because in cash the main reason I wanted to go down to D2 was that the cash trickles down more. And I'm thinking I could have a great week in D1 and finish 42nd and win nothing. But I could have a great week in D2 and finish, you know, that same entry in D2 might finish 20th and actually win quite a decent amount of money, maybe on par with what I would have won in 40th on D1. But in classic modes, the further down the divisions you go, the lesser cards you're likely to win, but also the boxes that you win are not the premium. They're like the light box or thing. Yeah. And I think if you want the best chance at getting lucky with the boxes, because worst case scenario, you're going to win the same power up, whether you get a box in Div 1 or Div 5, right? You're going to win the power up, and the power up is the power up. It's not like a more powerful one. They're equal. So worst case, you're going to win power ups anyway. So if you're going to play classic mode, you may as well at least hope to win a power up or a shot at a card with a box that's higher up in the divisions. So the divisions I find in classic, I'm now like nah, I'm shooting for D1. I'm shooting as high as I can. But in cash, I'm a bit more like, where am I more likely to score the enough points to finish in some cash place? Because you don't get any boxes in the cash game. It's like, it's all or nothing. So if you've only got one lineup, you want to just, it's like, yeah, you know, at best, it's going to win $30. It's like, well, that's better than losing, than winning nothing in D1. Do you know what I mean? And that's where most of my lineups in the in-season are, because I'm only really playing with cards I've won. I think that champ lineup I've got is great, but the rest of my in-seasons are very reliant on good fixtures. So I'm playing a little bit more carefully around the divisions with those entries than I am with the classic. And I think a lot of people probably similar, if they got a gallery similar to me where their in-season is not quite smashing as much as like their classic. Sometimes they're better off just either not playing the cash mode at all and strengthening those classic modes to play in the higher divisions. And I think if there is any strategy that I'm playing at the moment, it's that one. That's the kind of underlying, like, how strong is my cash entry? And then in classic, it's pretty much like reach for the stars, try and play your best lineup in the top division and hope to get lucky in those boxes. You won a few, didn't you, Quinny? I saw on your stream. Have you had any joy in terms of the boxes yet? We've had, what, maybe 4 game weeks since the change. Any cards? Have you managed to scrape any cards out of your box wins yet?
Well, I'm not fully fledged into classic or really in season at this point. So, like, with obviously all the Celtic stuff I've got, I can play a lot of classic. But this weekend, we've got a cup semi-final. And I think in the last 3 game weeks we've had, I think the first one, I just didn't have really all my ducks in a row. And then I think for the next one, it was against Rangers. So it wasn't a great fixture for me, if you know what I mean. So I've not had a good rare time yet, you know, as it were. And then super rare, because like the numbers are a bit thinner, the makeup of the divisions are obviously just smaller or whatever, they're different. I've not had like a real multi-entry classic attack of a weekend, because I've maybe got one going into in-season. I've maybe got some better cards, maybe trickling into 240 to do that, as it were. So so I've not had as many boxes as I should have probably by this point. So it will be easier for me to kind of, I'm really hoping with the rare boxes, especially if I've got like Mike, I want to be in that situation myself where I've got all my teams in D1 and it's like the bit, you know, then you're asking for, can I get all 3 of these into the spots? You know, that's the D1 angle, you know, for me. So I think, I hope as well, when you've got like 9 D1 boxes to open, it's a bit of a different experience to like 2, and then you've got 5 D2 boxes or something like that, and you've got a D3 box from over there, and that region got you 2 from D2 or, you know, whatever. So that is a numbers game, quite clearly. Like you say, there's a lot of people on 50s and 70s and no card, and then you see like Harry gets a Ruben Diaz day 1, and like Haber gets a unique day 2. Everything else, you're just like, wow. And then, yeah, like that doesn't happen to everyone, you know. So I've, you hope the better boxes maybe just kick a wee bit harder, you know.
I've had one card win out of a box. It wasn't an exciting one. It was a limited box, but yeah, I saw, you know, I mentioned that Warpcast chat last week. But one of the guys in that, he managed to pull a tier 4 rare from a limited box. So he had a great win. Rare card in a limited box has got to be a big win, as far as I'm concerned. So there are people out there. And I think that must be a buzz, mustn't it? And obviously we saw Haber win a unique, which is unreal. Like, I'd love to win a unique. I'm assuming that was from a super rare box as well, because I don't think he plays unique as far as I'm aware. But
yeah.
Yeah, great. It's good. I think that's a big plus that we're seeing. I like the boxes a lot. I don't know about you, but
They're a bit bare. I think that's where we're all kind of getting to. You know, it's nice, the special weekly ones. There's some shirts in there, and I've seen tickets come out and some other special weeklies and whatever, which is all grand. But I think you would want to see like that maybe on a more regular basis. And again, I was having this thought, I think, maybe last night or earlier this morning, but with their agreements with all the leagues and the clubs and whatever, obviously I'm not, I don't know how they're built and how they're worded and all the rest of it, but I imagine, like, let's just call them assets or whatever, are committed season on season, because you'll get new season shirts, you'll have new season player pictures and stuff or whatever. So in terms of like this season, we've had like a lot of collection events, or I don't know, have we had a lot? Well, we've had some, you know, we've definitely had them. I don't know if it is a lot or if we'll get more in the future or less, who knows. But I think like part of the problem they've always had with the reward pool period, or been able to maximize everything at their disposal period, is that virtually every year to this point, they've had a material change in the amount that they've had at their disposal, whether it be cards, because like, again, when me and you started playing it, I heard you talking about it on Make It a Double-Double this week, but like, you know, you remember Liverpool coming on, you remember Real Madrid coming on. Yeah. I remember all these things too, you know, so like, you know, you go through those seasons of like teams come on, and then it's like divisions, and then it's in our division, and then it's all the divisions, and then it's the Premier League, and then it's like they've got more money because also they raised all that money and da-da-da, and people have been spending money on cards and all the rest of it. So like, and again, I know from the first time we went to Liverpool, like, I think the first time they got some, like, really crazy stuff in the contract like that, like, tickets and experiences or whatever, it was kind of like their light bulb moment for them in negotiations going forward, where it's like, ah, we can actually get all this stuff into boot as well, and it helps add value and connection and connectivity and whatever else they're pushing. So, so obviously we've had a lot of, we've had the Premier League thing about a year ago. We've seen PSG seems to be like, I don't know, it felt anyway like they're doing that every year. La Liga and Bundesliga got their own deals after there was some clubs signed up, and anyway, yada yada. But it feels like maybe like for this season coming, like that, I think I said that after the product roadmap thing, but to a greater or lesser extent, it's like they have to have everything that they're going to give away clearly like mapped out. You know, like we're going to get 150 signed La Liga shirts, and we're going to get 150 signed Bundesliga shirts, but we're going to get 200 Premier League shirts, and we're going to get an extra 30 from Atleti. Liverpool will give us an extra 40, whatever it is. And then it's like, can we then just get an allocation of some of them into boxes? Yes, we can. How many? What's the percentage? Da da da. And then special weeklies are kept. Well, Liverpool gave us 40, so there'll have to be a Liverpool night, or, you know, and then they can map it out a bit better, because the boxes, if it is just power-ups and lower tier cards for the largest part, like you already feel from, I think the people that don't get the good opening experiences, that you know, the novelty wears off.
Yeah, I get that, but you know what, there was a part of me this week that when I was looking at what I was gonna get at the end of the game week, I was looking on Soro data and I could see, oh, you know, I've managed to win four cards in a pretty below average week for me as well, and I was like, this is actually a pretty decent week. I've got a few cards, plus I've got a bit of ETH where like I'd finished in the cash places in one of the in-season tournaments, and I think I got the low end of the rare threshold or something like that, I can't remember, but I won a little bit of ETH. And but I also saw that I had 9 boxes to open, and I was actually quite happy about that, because I was already thinking towards the game week ahead, knowing that I've got those boxes, doing a little bit of research on what of my like power cards are in that sort of level 18 to 20. So I've started looking at them and seeing how many boosts I've already applied, because you can only apply like 3 to each card, right? So I managed to max out my Mbappe this week, which seems like, you know, that feels like a big win. That extra 1% or whatever that I've now got on that Mbappe card, you know, if he hits an 89 or something like that this week in the Barca game, that's a lot of points. And you add that extra percentage up on top. I'm not mad at not winning a card in a box. I want those power-ups. And, you know, if this continues the way it does, then a lot of us will end up maxing a lot of our cards out. You know, the older cards in your gallery that have got that high up to that level 17 plus, where it does take a long time to, like, you know, to max out those final few levels, you need quite a lot of XP. It doesn't really make sense using them on the new cards you've got. I was looking at, because I do have a couple of good cards in my gallery, like Bruno Fernandes, I won recently, and Fredriksen, who is a forward at Rosenberg, who's a really good U23 forward option for me. But because their new season cards came out, since I've won him only a few weeks ago, his percentage is like 1.5. So he's got like the lowest XP in my gallery. But I'm looking, I'm like, oh, I could really do with that XP going up, because he's got a good AA on him. But using my boosts on a card that, you know, could power through a couple of levels in the space of a few weeks, just in like training modes and stuff, you want to get that card to like level 15, 16 before you apply those boosts. Otherwise, you're going to be forever waiting for him to get through those final few tiers of the levels. I've not minded winning the boosts for that reason, just to like get through my gallery. And then you don't need to use them in training anymore either, do you? Unless you need to use them to, I guess the way training works, isn't it, is like you need a couple of players in the team that are going to play so that they hit a few points. And then those points are kind of used as almost like a multiplier on the non-playing players. So that's the way you play training, isn't it? For anyone who doesn't know, that's how it works, is like the base score of like on average across that training team is then applied as like an XP multiplier across everyone in the team. So it makes less sense to just put five non-playing players in your training if you can help it. So for me, I've got a few of those legend cards that are almost useless now, but they're in my gallery because either no one wants them, or they're just cards that I keep for, you know, I've got a Zidane one that I won't sell because it is a collector's piece for me. And that goes in my training every week, even though it's maxed out, because it normally scores over 70 points, which is great if I put that in the training team with a couple of other players that I'm trying to level up quick in the week. So, it's created a new miniature problem. It's not a problem. It's just like I'm spending the boosts before I'm even think, because you kind of expect to win boosts, don't you? You don't expect to win a card. So I'm looking at boxes and I'm like, I've got 9 boosts. I've got like 8 rares and a limited boost at the end of the week that I can use. And before I've even won those boxes, I've spent them in my head. I'm like, great, I'm going to max this one out. That one's going to be maxed. And that's it. Yeah, it just puts them out of training. That means like I've got more slots in training for players who actually need the XP. So I'm not mad about it at all. I quite like using the boost, to be honest.
Yeah, they're definitely handy. And I think like the, you know, XP, these levels, we've kind of mentioned it. It's good chat in here as well. I think looking from Foods added in a great point, like no matter what, really, no matter what, you want as much XP as you possibly can. But like, I think the first, and they have slightly changed it recently, but it used to be like the first 10 levels, you could probably clip that with a good player, kind of reasonable time. Obviously now time is of the essence. There's only like 5 or 6 matches left, you know, but you're a long time in level 16 looking for food is what I would say, you know. So if you use those boosts to get you even from like 9 to 12, and then you think, oh well, from here on out it's big levels anyway, it'll take forever to get by like 13, 14, and other people that have probably the same card at a juncture will pass you because they'll get the easy XP to that point, and then they'll boost past you, you know. So it's definitely one where, I don't know, if you've got a guy, I don't know, if you've got so many of them, this might happen, Stitches. I'm thinking, like, if you are like scooping boxes all the time and you are being like quite diligent and trying to keep them for, even let's just say level 13 and above cards generally, you probably will still have, after a while of playing this game, a bit of a stockpile of them. And maybe if you know you're only going to use a guy for a week or two, maybe you just go fuck it and just hit the 3 on him.
Yeah.
I'm kind of bugger over the next person that buys it, obviously, but that's something it's just popped into my mind as well. You know, if you know you're going to punt it or you're going to sell it, trade it later, and you've got boosts coming out your ears, then you've got nothing to lose for yourself, really, do you?
I do wonder, because I think I saw someone else on maybe on Twitter or one of the kind of podcasts or in the chat say that they wonder if they're going to change the rules around like how many times you can boost a player, because at the moment you're capped to 3 boosts, aren't you?
I don't want it changed.
I don't think we should change it either, because otherwise people will just max out the big cards in the gallery quick and then try and shift them on for like it. Just I think it makes sense to keep it as much as it'd be great to just max out one of your new cards instantly after opening 20 boxes or something, but no, I think it needs to change. I don't think it needs to stay the same. But that brings us nicely into a little seg that you and I were talking about off air. It was one of the points I wanted to bring up as well. Unless
you just got before you segues, can I just say, Padigal celebrating 22 months membership on the channel. Thanks very much for that, mate. And he's asking, he got an O in a box, keep selling or injured. He's not injured. He's like 17 quid now, I think, in season. There's the floor or the instant buy. I'd probably just keep him in the hope that, you know, he gets more minutes for us or we loan him out or something. But he's good enough. And I say he's not in a great place to be selling. So just thought I'd touch on that. Thanks again for your support, mate. And I felt we were leaving boxes. So I thought I'll just, I want to, I want to touch on this before we run away from it.
Well, yeah, the seg that I was going to make was that talking about like changing things, all of this stuff, like maybe changing these boxes, blah, blah, blah. And like you and I was talking off air. And one of the things I wanted to bring up was when you look at midweeks at the moment, obviously at the end of the season, we're not going to have all-star. We're not going to have cap modes. We're not going to have, you know, a lot of the things that we've been used to. And as we've seen in the recent midweeks where we've got that thin kind of fixture spread, mostly we've got the European competitions and we've got the South American kind of like Champions League competitions, we are left without the regional competitions because of the rules that SoRare create about what it takes to open one of those regions. And one thing that struck me in the last few weeks is if you take all-star and cap modes out of the midweeks and we're only left with the specialists that are opened up, whatever they might be, that is a very small like window of entry for most people. Even with large galleries, you're only going to have whatever the special is and U23 and you know, it, on the odd occasion, maybe enough fixtures to open one of the regions. I don't know. It, you know, like K-League, for example, has quite a lot of midweek fixtures usually because of the way they fall in the windows. You might end up with like some of the Friday fixtures being in the midweek and stuff like that. But what are your thoughts on that? Like, do you foresee a future for SoRare next season where we have multiple special weeklies opening, or do you think that they might change the, what's the word, like the rules around like opening a region, or like how are they going to get around this? But like once we lose All-Star,
I think when European football's on, it'll be dead easy. I was just thinking, I was just doing the mental gymnastics in my mind there. In the old system, let's imagine the average rare player, limited's a bit easier and it's less generous. So let's just say the average rare player in the old system, you're thinking about maximum amount of entries you're probably playing. If you're a competitive, fully like armed up to the teeth, you're playing All-Star, you're playing All-Star Plus, same with Champ, Champ Plus, U23, 23 Plus, and you're probably cover 220, 240, 270. So we're talking about nine teams. So if it is like special weekly, Europa League, Europa Conference League, Champions League, multi-entry, it's kind of like the same amount of teams, that maybe is all right. But, and then there's Continental Nights that maybe kind of fly into it as well if they can merge in Sudamericana and Asian Cup and whatever. But that's not every midweek across the calendar. You know, like I think the Champions League, I think it's, how many match days will it go up to? There'll be 10 in the group and then not for everyone right enough. So let's say there's 8 in the group for everyone, bonus round for a few of them, for two more, and then it's quarters. So you're talking about like 14 match days for the Champions League off the top of my head, something like that. It's maybe not spot on. And other competitions will probably be 12, something like that as well. Again, how many midweeks are there in a year? I'm just going to say 52, although that might not be spot, you know, probably not spot on, but you know, it's maybe not too far away. So it doesn't completely answer the problem. It does give you a wee bit of a pause button thinking like, it will be down to like how many cards are in midweeks and that kind of thing as well, because the weeks, I suppose, where European football isn't on who's playing and what they're up to, and in which case it might just be a regular match day, like SPFL might have a midweek match day, Premier League has one or two midweek match days across the season, so maybe you just watch for those things coming out. And this is where I kind of got to when me and you were chatting before we came on, but like maybe SoRare want midweeks to be a wee bit chill, you know, they want people to, you know, like maybe just go to the market or maybe just log off for a day or two and not be so burdened by every game week being, you know, ride or die, life or death, you know.
What are we going to do with our midweeks if we've got no career, mate? I don't know what to do with myself. I need the midweeks. It keeps me going.
Just a thought. Because as well, if there is like less competition, like in terms of what we can play in midweeks, then surely they should be stuffed to the gunnels. We've seen the box percentages were different from midweeks. We've seen already, like we mentioned before, like signed shirts from whatever in special weeklies. So like, it could be a case of like, you know, when it is one of your midweeks and your stuff's on the go, like the leaderboard is packing, you know, and it's, you know, you're crossing your fingers, you've got good players and good fixtures, obviously. But so maybe if it is like a wee bit more, I don't want to say like a temple kind of situation, you know, but if you know like, oh, Champions League midweeks, it's X amount here and da 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 and da da da, and after match day one of the group stages, you'll, you know, we'll start to taste it and feel it. then maybe that's enough if it's big enough, you know. Because let's be honest, like midweek wins are always fun, right? But nobody, unless you're really fluky, nobody wins anything great midweek, you know. Even when you win first in a division, you know you're getting like bottom 40% of the pool. You know, that's where you're running, you know, and the cash is always suppressed compared to what a weekend is anyway, if you know what I mean. So even though like midweek can be your wee minute in the sun to go and get a podium or go and smash a top tier, like it's very rare that it's a total jackpot where it's like, wow, bagged an Mbappe from under 23 midweek, or you know, that kind of thing, Kimmich from All-Star, whatever it would have been back in the old days, you know. So what, you know, hey, that's where I'm at.
I reckon that they should use the midweeks next season as like a testing ground for different kind of like prize pool mechanisms. So if it was up to me, I'd say that maybe it's not All-Star, maybe it is a cap mode. I understand, like, obviously, I think thresholds are going, right? So let's not even, like, consider that as a return. No thresholds, but maybe in the midweek, we do have a cap 240, cap 220, whatever. But we have, like, a detailed, like, outline of, like, what the prize pool is. So, like, if you finish first, this is the prize. Second is that, blah, 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 blah. And it's locked in before. So it's like, right, well, you know what you're aiming for. If you win cap 240, you're getting a Bellingham. You know, if you win, if you like, then the next three places will be this player. The next three, four play would be this. So it's like, you can see the players you're aiming for. It's locked in. So you know exactly what your entry point is. And it might be that, like, that might not be that fun. I wouldn't want it to be like that every game week, but it might be quite cool to be like, yeah, I'm going to enter the cap 240 midweek to try and win the Bellingham, or try and win the Bruno Fernandes, or whatever it is that week. But order football shirts, you know, like we see that with shirts and that, don't we? Like, oh, you know, top two places get a shirt or tickets or like this experience. So, you know, they know exactly what they're winning before the week's closed. If they're second, they know they've got tickets to Liverpool, or they've got a shirt, or they've got thing. Whereas like anyone winning a card is like, oh, it might be this player, probably not going to be that player. But, and I get that it's exciting when you're opening your reward. So you wouldn't want that to be taken away every week. But I do wonder, like in the midweeks, maybe it won't just be about like new game mechanisms, but maybe new reward mechanisms. Maybe it could be some kind of thing. But I do think we will struggle. People will struggle to like make use of all the cards that they've got in those like medium to like busy midweeks, where if the only point of entry is the special weekly and maybe the odd region that's opened up. But we'll see. We'll see a bit more. Another thing actually I will touch on quickly was I noticed there was an announcement from the FA this week about English competitions and the FA Cup particularly. And next season onwards, there's only going to be FA Cup on the weekend, and there'll be no replays. So everything's going to be penalties and that. But that, what that does mean for so rare players is that there will probably be more midweek games in the Premier League next season if they're not going to have any FA Cup in the week. That will push a few fixtures of a season into the midweek a bit more, I think. So yeah, it's quite an interesting thing. Just kind of like take a bit of a broader view of that and what effect that will have rolling into so rare. I do think that we'll see a few more midweek Premier League windows now.
Yeah, so I think generally like up to the fifth round is kind of weekend, isn't it? But then maybe quarters and semis has maybe been, I don't know if they've, I don't know, they have been midweeks, but you do feel that like, yeah, they've not disrupted too many weekends. So if that's a change, maybe I feel like maybe one or two weekends in the calendar dive around. So that's an interesting one, Stish, for sure.
Midweeks. Yeah, it'll definitely have some kind of impact, I'm sure. But yeah, I thought that was quite an interesting point that popped up on the timeline today.
Yeah. And David's kind of thrown a wee spanner in the prize pool there for the stated cards on positions. Like, you know, if you want the guy in fourth and you're sitting in third, like, you know, that kind of thing. Fourth round is midweek only. Oh, there we go. I don't know why, but I think I had fifth round in my head as being a weekend, like, you know, like a weekend on Soccer Saturday or something, when it's like FA Cup fifth round, you know, and it's this, you know, maybe that's the third round actually. Yeah, perhaps.
I reckon it'll probably open up maybe three more midweek game rounds for the Premier League, about three or four max. But it does mean that we're going to get a little bit more, you know, bit closer to that championship midweek utility that that people can enjoy, or they used to enjoy. I mean, if you play Challenger, then championship is still a great point of entry, isn't it, in terms of like card utility. And the Brazilian league as well, actually. I found that they've got a really busy fixture list, haven't they? Especially when it comes to midweeks.
Yeah. They're coming out with all their platitudes again about funding and everything else. So
we've opened a Pandora's box here, Quinny, talking about the Premier League and the FA now.
I think part of I was going to get us back on topic there, but I was going to say, I think a little bit of the midweek situation is like, I guess like I've said, I think we know the obvious stuff that they could probably do, but what maybe we're all wondering or maybe saying is needed is like they probably should always do, and they've kind of alluded, they've never said it like for facts. I don't think they want to give themselves rope to be hung with, but I think like All-Star Cap 280 special weekly this midweek will probably be a somewhat regular feature, or maybe Cap 250 or 240 or whatever, depending on the teams that are out there. Or maybe they just do blatant All-Star if they can't be bothered doing it, or there's not a lot of teams on or something. So I think they've gave themselves room to have an unguaranteed, ever-present vibe in a special weekly somewhere, perhaps, as that kind of... Because, again, like Kubisaki here, and who said it before him? Gaz, and I'm sure maybe Mad Koala said something about this earlier on, but like the new players, the budget players, whatever, there's lots of players out there that want a division. They feel that this team is actually maybe comparable with the field. You know, it doesn't need to be the best competition going, but there should be something there where people feel like, oh, well, that's a Cap 250 and I've got an L15 32 defender that's going to bring me in a 60, so the rest of the team's great, or whatever, you know. So yeah, I kind of echo that, and maybe something for us to keep in our mind or ask.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how it pans out. I think they've been quite frequent with their updates of late, haven't they? We know we've had a few announcements. I'm going to remind myself of what those are, but I'm sure we've got obviously a K-League special weekly, a J-League special weekly coming up as well, haven't we?
Yep.
That recent news. Okay, so we've got a Serie A event similar to the Liverpool special, and the prizes are going to be VIP experiences, and they look like they've got a lot of the teams involved in that and the fixtures, so that's going to be interesting to follow. I do have a few Serie A players, but not enough from like a collection standpoint to see if like I'll be able to enter too much of that, but
I'd seen this yesterday, but I thought it was a special weekly or something. I'm only just realizing now, and I'll share this on screen in case anyone was as daft as me and didn't read the full blooming thing when it came out last night. But it's a collection game.
Yep.
So you can see all the teams here and all the fixtures, but it's a collection game vibe. You know, so it's not an SO5 competition. That's blooming amazing, by the way.
That's good. I think there's more and more of these popping up, isn't there? Because Liverpool...
Look at those games.
Liverpool one as well, wasn't there? I think the kind of the tail end of the big Liverpool experience was another. They've called it For the Fans event. So we got these experience or VIP things, and then I guess these are being touted as For the Fans events, and those are for collectors. And then if you've got a collection over like 250 points or whatever it is, like the 3% upwards, then you'll be put into a draw to win some kind of like tickets or experience. And yeah, I think they've been pushing for a while, haven't they, like the whole collection thing. And a lot of players and a lot of the people in the, at least in the space of the kind of podcasts and that we all probably listen to, there's a lot of people in the community that are very collection focused, isn't there? So I think if you are a fan of the club that you collect, and you're not just like collecting that club to like absolutely cream the rewards in an SO5 standpoint, then this is fantastic. Because if you are, you know, like I went to Fulham Man United in the season and was sat next to one of the big Fulham collectors. And I think of people like that like are buying, and yourself, Quinny, obviously is a big Celtic collector and a fan of Celtic.
And Girona. And New York. There you go. Take it a free trip.
These sort of tournaments are of no use to me, because I think they're, in terms of my collection scores on any club, I think my my galleries are spread too much across different scarcities and years. So I think my Betis one is like ranked second from 2020 to 21. And okay, my Heronveen, but none of my scores are high enough. So like my score in Super Rare Heronveen is first in the 2020 to 21 season in Super Rare, but that my collection score is only 130. So even if they did a Heronveen tournament or like for the fans, even though I've got a first place ranking, I wouldn't qualify under the current kind of onus or like reward structure that they're going with. But yeah, I don't think I'll be winning any tickets to go meet any of my gallery players anytime soon. But I do think this is a good move. I'd be interested to know how many people that listen to our podcast that are maybe in the chat today, like how many collectors do we have listening? Because like I mentioned, you know, I was on the Make It a Double Double podcast in the week, and you know, those guys there are quite heavy into their Burnley, aren't they?
And Ryo.
So it's so yeah, it's like those kind of players of the game, you know, as much as the pain that they suffer from like watching Burnley get smashed every week, they on the flip side, they might actually get to turn up to a training session or meet some of the players. And you know, as a fan of those clubs, that's something that money can't buy, isn't it, really?
No, big time. I was just going to say as well, I've just realized I've got a wee anecdote in with this as well. So I and one of the first collection events, I got that signed Arnau Martinez shirt for being a Girona collection over like 250 points or whatever it was. And this has probably been the most effort I've put into a DNP. It's probably been the most difficult card to really like, oh, I need to go and get that. You know, so I feel a bit obligated. Number one collection, having that guy's shirt. He's only been kicking a ball all season and people don't want to sell him cheap because he was good last year. But I finally got him in this week. So we finally got Arnau. It's the number one, which I was quite happy about. I'd like the number four a wee bit more just because, you know, the shirt's over there. But
yeah,
number one will do. But yeah, not been playing this season. This is such a painful card to try and get, by the way. Like, because it's just, what's he going to do for me anytime soon? Probably nothing. But maybe next year we can get back to some of this action.
Yeah.
When Kuto goes back to City or whatever. So we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, we've got him in, which is cool. And yeah, any collectors in the house, give us a shout. I've actually kind of added a little bit to... This is something I've kind of spoke about in a video or whatever, so I should just get your kind of two cents on it. So we're talking about collections and that kind of stuff, right? You mentioned the Make It a Double-Double guy. He's obviously, as he makes, a Huddersfield fan, but he's got his hooks into Ryo because they've got cards, Huddersfield don't. And, you know, there's that kind of vibe with Soria where it doesn't matter what your team is, you can maybe get a little bit of something. And I've been speaking about, I think since Instant Buys came out, really, like, especially for rares, if you do want to get like a wee nominal collection on the go, like I think I paid like £6 for Pacheco and like £17 for Hamari, right? But this is, and now, fair enough, the Zakarian is a jerseyman, right? So that kind of eats up some points for me, right?
Yeah.
This is a 4-card collection. With one more card, it will be on 260 points or something when it all clocks in.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't, you know, if you, now, you can actually be, you know, if you really pick your cherries, you know, you can be quite lean with some of these in-season kind of value teams if you know what, if you actually know the players, like you're talking earlier on about £8 rare and stuff like that, you know. But
yeah.
I know he's injured, but Braise Mendez, £18, you know, Oyer Azabal, penalty taking striker, £76. The goalkeepers are still punchy, but sadly £250 here. But even just filling out some of the handcuffs and the backup guys, isn't that eye-watering or difficult because you don't need to wait for the auction, you don't need to wait for you know, an itchy reward winner to turn up. Like if the guy's like £7, you know, if the 4 or 5, I'm going to spend the 7 to get that wee, you know, new card bonus, whatever it is, the first owner card, basically, thing onto it to try and help it up a little bit more. But yeah, I've got the Girona thing. It's all set to go for 750 once I get my guy's 90-day in. So that's going to be 15% super rares running around. And hopefully, like, with these Celtic ones, I should be... I'm doing quite well with getting on the way with that. Because, I don't know how do we get into talking about XP and collections again? Sorry. I just feel like I've ran away into a wormhole. Sorry.
The events where, like, you know...
Oh, of course, the events. So, like, that Sociedad collection. See, with 5 cards... One playable team, essentially, like, you know, maybe there's I've got a rotating defender there or a rotating forward. That would, no, I think the threshold for there is 300 points, isn't it? Points still roughly stands. You could pick up a team, adopt a team, follow a team. And yeah, even at rare level, like, you add the goalkeeper in, right? Because you have to, right? Unfortunately, they're a bit expensive. But if you're paying the thick end, let's say £500 for a rare, let's just say champion, to keep it kind of in the premium space, because we've seen that kind of, let's say 600, right? Just for my conscience. So now, £600 for like a rare rig out that you can play all season. And then, I don't know, let's just say three times a year, you're going to be in the hat to get signed merch or VIP tickets there. And no matter what country in the world you live in, if you want to go to like VIP top level football, the number one thing that will be stopping people is fear of how you get them. Where do you need to sign up? How much do they cost? Will you actually get them? And yeah, they add all the rest of it. And, you know, so rare also take that out of it, because they just say, pick up the tickets when you get there, and we're so rare, we're sorted out for you. So like, if you do want to, like, so rare players that are listening to this podcast, but just generally anyone that picks up so rare, like, that can be something where it's like, oh, do you know what? I've always wanted to go to the Bernabeu. You know, Bernabeu, obviously Real Madrid is not going to be £600 for a rare rig out, but you know, I've always wanted to go and watch La Liga football. Go to the Bundesliga is definitely a good, and as much as like they like to think it's like real football and the fans are hardcore, like, the Bundesliga gets a lot of tourist traffic. You know, people want to go to Germany to watch football. That's definitely a thing people do. So Italy as well. So that's a great angle for the game. You know, you don't need to actually like buy the whole bloody team and spend like £3,000 on the squad.
Yeah.
You know, but that instant buy gives a wee bit more access, and then maybe the silver lining is these collection games need to be a wee bit more, let's say, known in advance, so you know getting into it. Like, if you get a La Liga collection at rare over 300 points this season, we're going to have 10 La Liga events, ranging from tickets and shirts and do-do-do-do-do, fucking collector cards now and whatever else to, you know, own your game, whatever they want to tell us. Yeah. So yeah, that's how I got into that Sociedad kind of loop there.
Yeah, I'll just have a little look at mine. I think like my FC Seoul collection from last season is quite good, because I won 4 players in rare from Seoul last season. And obviously I follow Seoul owning a few. So like, you know, you get that first owner bonus as well, don't you? So my score for just having 3 cards currently on Seoul is like 120, which ranks me 45th in rare. And a club like Seoul, obviously they've got their new season cards out as well. So these are all like classic cards now. But we do have obviously the K-League competition coming up. But you know, there's a lot of cards in that like last season's mints that are less than £3. So I could probably get myself up to that, you know, that 250 score with a couple of very cheap purchases if I wanted to. Obviously, anyone who follows FC Seoul will tell you they are horrendous at the moment. They are absolutely horrendous. And yeah, it doesn't help that some of the best players are currently out injured. We don't know how long Kim Ju-sung's going to be out for. There's a awful rotation going on up in the sort of top sort of 4 or 5 players in the division, in the team. So they're an awful team to collect for that reason. But yeah, it's quite a, you know, to get to that 300 points, then you get that FC Seoul badge that you can then apply to your club as well.
The badge is the thing, isn't it? That's the finish line for this stuff.
Yeah, I think the only card that I've bought in recent history to like boost my collection score was the Verratti. And that was for the main reason that, you know, I want
that's a fun card, but that's a fun card.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. You know, he's still young. He could get a move back away from Saudi as and when, you never know. But yeah, I think the PSG, obviously I won Donnarumma and Mbappe for that through that season. But there are cards in there that are, they're obviously expensive, but they're quite useful. Still, you know, if you wanted to really push the boat out and pick up a Messi from that season, you've got him in that collection. You've got Neymar, who, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with him. But then you've also got cards like Zaire Emery, a rookie card. That would be a nice to own. You know, you've got Nuno Mendes, who's now back from injury, looking pretty good. So you've got some useful cards there. You know, even like Ramos is still a useful card, isn't he? And Marquinhos and Hakimi. But you do have to fork out for that. But I'm currently sat on like 100 points there. And PSG would be a nice club to go and do a bit of VIP or, you know, a signed shirt or an Mbappe experience. I'll take that, you know. So maybe it is worth forking out for. Who knows? But yeah, I've never really got into the collections, but they are hearing you talk about it and, you know, the potential there, it is tempting to dip in and invest in a few cards, a few players, especially if they're useful for SO5 as well, you know.
To this point, all the collection events have been historic. Just saying this because Mikey's got a comment on screen. We've went and found it from, it is, again, for the Serie A one, it is the same. But that Girona one was out of season when I got it, you know, and I think Celtic stuff I've had as well. My Celtic collection is 2 seasons past now. The main one, when any of the stuff ran earlier this season, I forget what was on exactly. I didn't actually win anything, but I think I was entered into draws. I never got, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. That is a kind of draw thing, I think, isn't it, for the most part? Yeah. But yeah, just wanted to put that up there because Mikey was asking, and just to make it clear for anyone listening, yeah, doesn't matter, really. You know, it's harder to get those points when it is out of season. So if you're doing it secondary market, you're probably going to, you'll need more than 6 cards or whatever, like I was theorising with the Sociedad guys there.
Yeah.
And if it's a, you can go and get backup right backs for £4 and, you know, just get 3 of them and stuff them in, be your goalkeeper or whatever, and, yeah, and get yourself there.
If you're talking about getting yourself to that point where you're in the draw for these tickets or these experiences, if you do have like 100 collection score, like, yeah, why not pick up? If, you know, I gave the example of Sol there, but there will be people that have won like 4 like OGC Nice cards or something like that and only need to buy a couple of the backups to find themselves in that prize pool amongst other collectors. And I was reading a piece that MPen10 on Twitter, he writes a lot of good kind of insight on the market structures and the game modes and all that kind of stuff. He really breaks down a lot of the fundamentals of the product and gives it to you straight. And I think that he was writing a bit about the Liverpool being like a highly collectible team. A lot of the collectors have, you know, there's maybe 80. I think you're saying there's about 80 people that have over 250 point score on Liverpool collections in limited. But then if you think about it, right, let's say 84, that's 84, and they're apparently one of the most collected clubs across like various managers on the platform. And we know that they've got this kind of like play on the pitch thing going. And it's like, if there's 2 places up for grabs and there's only 84 people in the draw, you've got a pretty good chance there, haven't you, of playing on the pitch at Anfield. And if you apply that to teams that are lesser collected on the platform, like you mentioned Girona, there might only be 20, 30 managers that you're up against for those like 6 seats at the game or something like that. And that gives you great odds of like having a money can't buy experience for a club that you follow. So when you think of it like that, if you are, you know, 20 quid away from finding yourself in that 250 points plus club, then you'd go for it, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah, I think so. I was just about to say that some of these lesser teams as well, like, you know, I think they've got some, I don't think we've really seen much of this stuff kick in for Holland and Belgium yet. I think that'll be great for Serie A managers, like when you can go to here. I don't know if how much VIP access you get in these divisions, but you know, but you mentioned Heerenveen. I know people like all the teams in Eredivisie. There's a stack or two out there. There's a couple of collectors that are after it. And if you can start sending people to some of those games and whatever, like, I think that's when you see definitely like, oh yeah, you can't have a collection below 250. Because if you do fall in love with the team and you do ride with them all season, you'll get a couple of tickets, you know, and it's like, oh cool, got a wee trip to, and if you're across Europe, which is my main headspace when I'm thinking about this stuff, obviously, I know people are from far flung reaches of the world that listen to the show and play the game, obviously, but you know, like if you're in Poland or France or Spain or whatever, and it's like, oh cool, I can go and watch Heerenveen at home at Walwick and see my stack have the best fixture of the game week, you know, that'd be a buzz. You know, it is a buzz. I've done it with Celtic. It's fucking great. Yeah, I can tell you that. I've done that more times than maybe any man should. It's been a great joy to do it. And hopefully I'll get another couple of shots at it this season before we're out. But it's so yeah, like I do think that's a big part of, so like again, like people kind of delve into, you know, we've got some great comments here. By the way, anyone that is collecting, jump in and throw it into the live chat as we're recording the podcast live. If you are watching us on YouTube or Twitter or Twitch or any, no, we're not on Twitter. But anyway, hit the like button, support the broadcast, and just let those people know you're having a good time and we're up to some good stuff here. But yeah, I think the collection part of the game makes me more excited about individual clubs, and it makes me think about that Sociedad a little bit more, you know, like, it makes me think, oh, do you know what? That wee young midfielder who's 5 quid, I actually kind of like him anyway. What's for a fiver? Gets me that threshold. And then if Sociedad are in the mix for something, then maybe I'm in the mix for something, you know? And yeah, it's an extra level to the game, because as much as we're bemoaning cards, cash, boxes, divisions, or whatever. What everyone wants is a bit of love from their collection, a bit of love from their guards, their cards or gallery or whatever. And that, like, you know, getting that shirt in the post, going to games, tickets and all that, like, you really feel like, yeah, I'm glad I've got these cards when you're doing stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's got me looking right now at, like, the... So I've got a half-decent collection of players. I've got, it's only three players, but they're useful cards, apart from Antony this season. But the AX 20 to 21 season, you know, it's got some useful cards in there. And I reckon I could get mine. And the idea of going to, like, a VIP experience at Ajax is, like... Or at most Dutch clubs, for that reason. I like watching the Eredivisie a lot, so... I would not mind being in amongst the kind of like the raffle situation for most of those clubs. Feyenoord, Ajax, you know, PSV, Heerenveen. I'd happily go and watch.
Well, they definitely do the PSV stuff. So send people to the PSV training ground a few times. So yeah, PSV are definitely like cool with Soria, you know, we know that.
Yeah. I'm surprised that, you know, most of my PSV cards have come from previous seasons. So I don't actually have a collection for PSV anymore. I used to when I had like Sangare and Boscagli that season.
He's really cheap now, by the way, if you wanted him back.
I bet he is. Yeah, he's not doing the SO5 output that he was doing when I sold him, that's for sure.
I was looking at him about a week or two ago, mate, because again, the price of super rares, we spoke about this last week on the show, and I've mentioned it a few places recently, so it's kind of maybe soundbite at the moment, I guess, is the way it's shaking out. But I was looking at the price of him and I was thinking, oh man, just imagine he goes back to the Eredivisie. Like, that would just be amazing.
He was incredible.
But then I think there's no All-Star, so he's no blooming use to me. If he does go to the Eredivisie, if he goes to the Eredivisie, I can't use him because I've not got any of those teams. So it's, you know, you're back to the All-Star element again. You need them to stay in champion and be good somehow, even though he doesn't seem to be doing well in champion to this point, you know, so it's... Yeah. If he gets relegated and stays and he's a boss in the championship, great. But again, I'm not a good challenger. So, like, it's a funny situ with some cards like that now, isn't it?
It's going to be really interesting. You mentioned there, you touched on that relegation as well. And I think that we're getting to that time of the season where we're going to start to see those price fluctuations where people are betting on teams that go down into the championship or, like, come up from the divisions below into like the Eredivisie and like the Belgian divisions and stuff, where players have got cards who've been in the divisions below, especially goalkeepers. Like, it's speculation season, isn't it, for the kind of end of season. So that's going to be really interesting to play. We'll have to keep an eye on that over the next few weeks and maybe touch on it on the podcast once we start to see those price movements locked in, especially as teams like get guaranteed promotion and stuff like that, or relegation. But I definitely think, you know, talking to the Burnley lads in the week, they're all kind of banking on Burnley going down and they're expecting like big things for Burnley cards next season in the championship. Because we don't know which clubs will get minted in the championship either, do we? Because, you know, Burnley having their deal the season prior, obviously they've gone into the Premiership and they're part of that deal now. But some of the clubs, you know, Southampton coming down didn't get mints this season, did they? And we saw that with Bazunu at the end of the season. We got like pretty crazy prices for players like him.
I just got a really funny mental image in my head of, like, for anyone that listens to Make It a Double-Double, not to not to say tangent too much, but Adam's quite famous, and I chinned him when I was on the show for leaving football matches at like the 85th minute and stuff like that, like just his routine. And I just had a wee funny image in my head there of the three of them at VIP Burnley staying to the 90th minute and being pure buzzing when Burnley have just lost 4-0, like, yes, we're all relegated, like, you know, pop of the champagne. And they stay all the way to the 90th minute, which is, you know, it's like, yes, we've done it.
They were theorising on how expensive, like, Trafford will be next season as an under-23 card who might not have mints and, in a strong team.
Yeah.
You know, he's got that U23 till 2027, I think. And, they're all kind of banking on Muric leaving, which could happen. It's going to be really interesting to see how that all pans out. I'm definitely keeping a keen eye on the goalkeeper market in Champ, particularly because movers and shakers, I still need that super rare goalkeeper, but I don't want to pay through the nose for it. Got an idea in my head of who I want to pick up, but I'll keep that to myself for now.
Yeah, well, mine's just kind of, I need another goalkeeper now that Girona collection's where it's at. I just need to get a Gazzaniga, whether I want him or not at this point, because it's like, hey.
Just got to time it right now.
Just got to do it, mate. But that'll be some fun and games for another day, perhaps. But yeah, we've turned some lemons into lemonade. We've got some midweek headaches and some midweek dilemmas going forward and everything else. And this weekend, there's no Eredivisie. There's no SPFL either. Maybe there is. No, I don't think there is any. I know Celtic are playing the cup, but I don't think... Is anyone else playing? I'm not too sure. Might just be a cup weekend. But it's a funny midweek. I was listening to the Soria Data Preview with Harry and Laird on Wednesday. And I think a lot of these divisions, if you've got teams in it, it's kind of up for grabs, I think, this weekend.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of holes, isn't there, in the regular kind of fixture map for the weekend.
There's El Clásico as well, you know, yeah. And there's a few other kind of things like that going around where obviously Leverkusen have won the league and Bayern are on the ropes, like you mentioned at the beginning of the show, and Stuttgart are still going to push them closer to the level on points, obviously, but you know what we're getting at. Inter have run away with the league, so I feel like there's a lot of opportunity for the random stack to come out of nowhere, and I'm running Sociedad two places, I'm running Girona somewhere as well, and hopefully it's one of those wee odd weeks where it's like, oh cool, all the quirky teams won this week, you know, all the guys that finished fifth in the table are or whatever, it was their weekend to run 5-0s everywhere, or whatever it may be.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. I'm struggling with my selections this weekend just because I can't figure out who's going to play. Some of the fixtures are not great for some of my players. So, yeah, it's going to be all over the place. I'll be hoping for a bit of end product to report next week, but I'm not sure where it's going to come from just yet.
Yeah. And Hoodwink here had an In with the Dago shirt. Again, with some of these stuff, it can be hard geographically to get the merch and to get tickets and to do stuff. So, again, just in our little avenue that kind of Soria has kind of carved out. And I think that's what we've all kind of thought this whole time we've been here. A lot of people listening to the show have been here for a while, obviously, as you hope. So, you know, you kind of think, oh, Soria could grow into being this, like, remember we used to always talk about, like, the football social media almost of kind of, you know, that kind of angle of it all. It's still kind of treading that path, I suppose. But when you hear that from, like, Hoodwink as well, like, it just kind of brings it home again, because being in the UK and being in some European countries, maybe some stuff is quite accessible. You know, it's not too hard. Like, if you wanted to buy, like, and obviously not Daegu, and Hoodwink obviously lives no far away from me, so it's not like he's in a different planet or something. But just generally, there's people out there that, like, getting shirts from Obscure, and I say Obscure, it's just not one of the top 10 revenue clubs in the world. You know, getting shirts from outside of that globally can be hard or expensive with import taxes and whatnot. So, this is more like a midweek for me. Majority of my guys play midweek.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game week, definitely. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be cap mode. I think from the last couple of looks I've had at it, I think the cap modes are going to be my main focus this week. But just because I haven't won that super rare one for a while, and I think I've got a half decent fixture for a goalkeeper and a striker, which is usually like my basis for cap mode is like striker going to score, goalkeeper going to keep a clean sheet and all AA in the middle of that. So I've got a couple of good options there. So I think cap mode for me is going to be my main point of entry. And I'm hoping that I'll be able to report like one of those medium thresholds with a bit of luck. I think I'm kind of out of the running of that in the midweek. I thought I had a great shot at the rare one this midweek, but Koulibaly had it wasn't Koulibaly in the cap mode, actually. It was Cancelo giving the penalty away. Kind of ruined my chances of that. So, not feeling too confident of much by way of end product. I think a lot of that's going to go down to Bayer Leverkusen against West Ham this evening. Going to need a big performance from Grimaldo and Wirtz in one of my lineups to hopefully push me towards some kind of midweek end product. But yeah. We look forward to the game week on the weekend and fingers crossed for a bit of end product to report next week, Quinny.
Yeah, indeed. So I think it's good luck, everyone, for the weekend. Thanks to everyone that joined us live. If you're watching this or listening to this after we've been live, again, fist bump to all of you. Thanks for the support on the show. And I guess we'll be back next week.
Cheers, everyone.